Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we're continuing our trek through the Bible for the 21st century. We're continuing our series in Minor Prophets for Interesting Times and the Book of Zephaniah. So I'm going to jump right in here, since much of Zephaniah is self-explanatory. We don't need a lot of background on it, because Zephaniah gives us his own background. In verse 1, chapter 1, the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. So we know that it was during the days that Josiah, the son of Amon, was the king of Judah. And these were the days where Israel had split into two nations. The bulk of Israel, the northern kingdom, went off, and it was called Israel. And the southern kingdom was called Judah, with its headquarters at Jerusalem. They had the temple. And, of course, Judah was set apart, and the reason that our Heavenly Father put up with this split in the kingdom, he put up with the idolatry of Judah until, the desolation, until he could put up with it no more. When the abomination of the nation was complete, the desolation finally came with the king of Babylon. So we are before that, in the time of the king of Judah. And Zephaniah, of course, prophesies here. And perhaps I'll take a look over here at Matthew Henry's concise commentary and see what he has to say. Zephaniah said, "Ruin is coming, utter ruin, destruction from the Almighty. The servants of God all proclaim, there is no peace for the wicked. The expressions are figurative, speaking everywhere desolation. The land shall be left without inhabitants. The sinners to be consumed are the professed idolaters and those that worship Yahuwah and idols, or swear to the Lord and to Malcolm. Those that think to divide their affections and worship between gods and idols will come short of acceptance with God. For what communion can there be between light and darkness? If Satan have half, he will have all. If the Lord have but half, he will have none. Neglect of God shows impiety and contempt. May none of us be among those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Now to our text, verse 2, the judgment. "I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks of the wicked. I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Camarims of the priests." Now, the Camarims of the priest were those that practice an idolatry. Let me jump over here to our dictionary here. If you're somewhere, okay, there we go. Properly an ascetic, as if shrunk with self-maceration. That is an idolatrous priest, the Camarims, idolatrous priest. And I like what Matthew Henry had to say about this. I'm gonna jump back there to his commentary for a moment. And he says, "Those that think to divide their affections and worship between God and idols will come short of acceptance with God. For what communion can there be between light and darkness? If Satan have half, he will have all. If the Lord have but half, he will have none. And so this was the idolatry here being expressed of the Chamorims when that name is mentioned in the text. And I see this today in the church. Where I live, we had a home church movement. It was growing. And then, some people moved in and their charismatic, new apostolic reformation minded. They call them, also have another name for them, they call them the emerging church. And Satan has half, and God has half. While all the while, the people that are practicing, the priests, of the Chamorims, and I would say, today I would call them the emerging church movement, or the experiential Christianity, of today have the same kind of dual split personality between idolatry and the worship of God. They claim, they call his name, they quote his word, but they can't endure sound doctrine. And what they're after is the power of God. And they continually seek after miracles and experiences. And of course, the God of this world, Satan, and his angels are eager to give them such experiences, to fill their desire for experience and power and all of the things that they look to God's word for. But, you know, even Jesus said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. And so these people are continually seeking a sign. They're chasing one endorphin high after another. They're seeking an experience because they want to feel their Christianity. They don't want to believe it by faith. And you see them. You probably know some of them. They're always going to the next event, where someone's going to be healing, or they got to go see the tattooed preacher that is offering them the power of God and going to give them a glimpse of the supernatural so that they can latch on to it. And then they feel alive. Then they feel like God is paying attention to them because they feel something in their flesh. They feel something. They get an adrenaline rush, an endorphin high, and they fall out on the floor, and they have visions and dreams of things and places that they go. I've seen all this with my own eyes. And they shake their heads violently and utter nonsense. But sound doctrine? Forget about it. Reading a whole chapter of a Bible continuously, sitting under good teachers, they don't want it. They cannot endure sound doctrine. So because if Satan have half, then God wants none of it. And so I like the words there of Matthew Henry in his concise commentary, commenting on these. In verse 5, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by Yahuwah, or by the Lord, as it's written in the King James Version, and that swear by Milcom. And what is this Milcom here referring to? It's the national idol of the Ammonites. There are those who mix Christianity with, say, Islam, and they call it Chrislam. But God said, we'll have no part of it. He turns them totally over to Satan. They want to split their worship between two different gods. And as Matthew Henry says in his commentary, I'm gonna look at it once again here. Let me get used to these buttons here. He says, for what communion can there be between light and darkness? If Satan have half, he will have all. And Satan knows this. The enemy knows if he can get half of your affection, that he has all of your affection, because none of it belongs to God. You cannot serve two masters. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord. So this is what's going on in Israel. This is leading to the desolation and the judgment to come. These are the things. Those that turn back, oh, I used to go to church. I used to follow the Lord. But when I was young and I was excited about that, but you'll see when you get older, you'll cool off too. I've heard words like that out of the lips of people. But the funny thing is, see, I'm still 40 plus years in. I haven't cooled off yet. I think that they are those that turn back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. This is the world out there. They attend the public schools. They watch the media. They were taught mantras like the Word of God. That Bible, that's just a bunch of old fables. So they never look. They never inquire. And the Spirit of God, the Word comes to them and they hear it for a moment, but they never follow through. And they think for a moment, maybe I ought to check that out. But they get busy about their own life and their own business and their own idolatries and the pleasures of sin. And they just don't inquire any further. They forget that they even thought of inquiring of Yahuwah, our God. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord. Verse 7. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, and hath bid guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahuwah's sacrifice that I will punish the princes. Oh, you know, Obama up there, he would fall in the class of princes, or the ruling elite set for his position. Yes, even part of the Bush royal family. Connected with England. These people believe things that aren't true. They believe fables. They believe that they're of the royal line that extended from the lie that Jesus had children with Mary Magdalene. They believe this lie. They believe this fable. And they believe somehow it gives them a right. But what did our master say about that? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They're trusting in the wrong things. They think they have their position by their blood and their lineage, or by their own merit. But God says he puts the basest, the evilest, the most despicable men in the place of rulership in the kingdoms of this world. And that's easy to see when we look around us, if we have eyes to see. He says that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day I will also punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. Oh, here we go. Yes. Well, I'm going to jump to Matthew Henry's concise concordance here. The Jewish royal family shall be reckoned with for their pride and vanity, and those that leap on the threshold, and this is a figure of invading your neighbor's rights and seizing their possessions. It went on then, it's going on today. The kings had wicked taxes to pull apart and down the houses of their neighbors and invaded their neighbors' rights. We have the same thing going on today. It's called socialism. Trading people and the rich merchants are called to account. Secure and careless people are reckoned with. And there are a lot of secure and careless people out here in the world around me. They feel secure. They're benefiting by the state theft, by the princes and the rulers that rob their neighbors and, of course, enrich themselves first, them and their friends, become very, very rich. And then they dole out a pittance to the populace to make them secure and easy, collecting their check every month, living in their stolen houses with their stolen merchandise, eating their stolen bread by the violence and force of the state. And they say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. See, we're doing whatever we want. God's word says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. But look, God's not going to do good or evil. He's not going to punish us. God's word, God is doing nothing. Because here we are not working, but we are eating. See? So they are secure and easy. They say in their heart, the Lord will do nothing. That is, they deny his dispensing rewards and punishments. But in the day of the Lord's judgment, it will clearly appear that those who perish fall a sacrifice to divine justice for breaking God's law. And because they have no interest by faith in the Redeemer's atoning sacrifice, they don't care. They're too busy about their own business, however they're taking advantage of God's mercy and his patience with them. Their judgment will come. Make no mistake about it. And what is this strange apparel thing? But I see it today. Strange apparel and all such, because he doesn't address this one, does he? No, he doesn't. He skips over it, or Matthew. I'll bet you he does address it in his exhaustive commentary, but I might have to exhaust myself looking for it. So I'm going to address it myself. I'm going to be my own commentator for a minute here. And all such as are clothed with strange apparel. What is strange apparel? Well, I would liken strange apparel to strange fire. When the sons of Aaron offered strange fire in the temple. See, because God gave them instruction, as God gives us instruction. God gave us them a law for the service in the temple, as he gives us a law to live by. When he says, thou shalt not, and we say, God's not paying attention. See, I eat and I don't work. So God will do nothing. He's not going to do good or evil. He's just kind of out there and, you know, he just let this thing go and he's not going to do anything. And so people start to disobey God's law and they start to dress strangely. And that's Kevin Swanson, Generations Radio. That's the guy. He did a show talking about some pop singer named Justin Bieber or something like that, how he accepted Jesus. So now he's tattooing Jesus tattoos all over his body. That's his testimony to the world. Now the world thinks he's gone insane, and perhaps there is a touch of insanity, but, you know, and perhaps he is genuine in his intentions, but has he read God's law? Has he inquired of God whether he should get a tattoo or not? And what about the strange clothing that people are wearing in the church and the tattoos all over their bodies? Do they inquire of God's word? What kind of apparel pleases him? Are the women's walking around with low-cut blouses and bare backs and open armpits and in the congregation and wearing short shorts, or, you know, are they wearing strange apparel? Because you read God's word about modest dress. Well, anything that doesn't comply with the modest dress of God's word is strange apparel. And I see it everywhere I go, every congregation. I expect to see it out there in the world with the unregenerate, those that pay no attention to God, that, you know, live in their sin and they worship the idols of the fallen society around them. I expect them to put plumbing parts in their ears and in their nose and pieces of metal in their cheeks and and do strange things with their faces and wear strange apparel. I expect that from the world because they're teaching them that in the public school system, you know, in the public temples of idolatry. And they send their children to these temples, these idolatrous temples, and teach them that boys and girls are the same things and they can share the same bathrooms and wear strange apparel. Express yourself. You know, create your own identity. Forget what God made you. Strange apparel. Strange appearance. Yes. Strange identities. Verse 9, Zephaniah chapter 1. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. Yes, they fill their master's houses. And who is your master? Well, your master is your benefactor. If you were a slave at any time in history, who provided your housing, your clothing, your health care, and everything that you needed? Well, your master did. Yeah. And what did the labor that you provided for your master, what did that do? Well, that filled your master's houses. And if your work for your master was violence and deceit to rob your neighbor, well, then you are filling your master's houses with violence and deceit. Okay, well, we'll continue in Zephaniah when we return from this message. Don't go anywhere.